Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here. You're playing the headline game with me again today.
Love it. Love it. Yeah.
The headline of your column today is Sex and Your Salary. I guess that got a lot of people's attention. It's one of the top stories on federalnewsradio.com.
It's got to be, you know, money, sex, it sells. And in this case, it's really legitimate because, you know, we're having this debate now about women are paid, I think the latest is 87 cents for every dollar that men make in the government. Uh-huh. And that's a major improvement from 5-10 years ago when it was 70 cents on the dollar. But be that as it may, it is still an issue. And the problem is it a problem? And if so, how do you solve it?
And that's one of the things that you tackled on your turn today, talking about that from a couple of different perspectives.
It was very interesting. I had Pat Niehaus, who's president of the Federal Managers Association, a woman. She's a government employee in California, and she also heads FMA, and she's made quite a career for herself. And we had Nicole Blake Johnson from the Federal Times, who has done very well in her field. And it was interesting for me as a male, because sometimes you think we don't have a dog in this fight. Mm-hmm. You know, we shouldn't comment on it. But they both said this is true for a lot of reasons, including lifestyle choices, the fact that the sexes are quite different, as most of us have noticed by now, and you know, different things happen at different times. Women may enter the workforce or later, but and they may also leave it sooner to rear family, you know, for a noble cause. But be that as it may, they're not there. And, you know, how do you handle this? Women are not well represented in fields of science and engineering. They're getting better, getting more of them, but it's still not popular with them. How do you address that, or do you address it? And I thought it was very interesting just to sit back and listen to these two successful, strong women discuss this issue.
You point out something in your column today that I don't know if you did intentionally or not, but I think it kind of shines a light on this, the sex gender pay gap. And you write about the numerous studies from all different perspectives that people have done about pay in the federal government. And that begs the question, if we can't agree on public versus private, when it comes to pay structure, how confident can we be that we're getting the numbers right at men versus women when we're trying to drill down to comparing and being fair and making sure that a man doing this job and a woman doing the same job are making the same amount of money?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I don't have the answer. But Pat Niehaus pointed out that she said she had seen data which indicated that inside the Beltway, women in government make slightly more than men. And Andy Medici of the Federal Times said, Nicole Johnson said that there are different studies and different ways of looking at this, but there are situations where you can prove that case that mm-hmm. women, and you know, again, we're talking about cabinet level officers and sub-cabinet and SES. And as everybody pointed out, most of the senior executive service is in the metro Washington area. There's some exceptions, but most it's here. So again, if they're well represented at that level, then that would bring the numbers up.
Now, when I first started to cover the federal government and learned about how the whole thing works, I figured that the general schedule meant that if you're GS-13, doesn't matter if you're man, woman, blue,
right,
green, orange, doesn't matter, you make this amount of money to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I've learned that's not the case.
But well, it is. No, really, it is the case.
With the steps and
yeah. Yeah, but
so again, I mean, it can be fine-tuned, right?
It can be. Well, the thing is, I guess the question is, do you want to do it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, what's your point? Jackie Simon, American Federation of Government Employees, she's an economist by trade, and back when they were arguing about federal workers being the Heritage Foundation and others, said federal workers are overpaid compared to people in the private sector. And Jackie said those studies were wrong because they don't take into account the fact that in the government, if you were a GS-13 step 5, you make the same salary whether you're a woman, a man, an experimental goat, or whether you're in Huntsville, Alabama, or Muscle Shoals, Tennessee, and uh-huh. I got those backwards. But it is a system where it's kind of rank in man. Now, you're right about the steps. When you come in depends on when you get your steps. But here's a case in point. More women are graduating from college than men. That's been the case really since the end of the Vietnam War. More women are graduating from college than men. So does that mean they start in the workforce later? Probably. If they come into government, a guy may have, a guy may be a step three by the time they get into the government. So he may be GS-7 step three. So she comes in as GS-7 step one. But will she move ahead of him in promotions and things like that? You would think so because of her education. Mm-hmm. So, and that's something that's yet to be determined. And I'm not sure they've even looked at that.
Yeah.
The fact that women enter the workforce later. And then again, you have these decisions of what about having a child, maternity leave and that kind of thing. And Andy Medici said that he had a friend who lived in Sweden. As I said, we might have to go to Sweden to see how they do it there. Mm-hmm. He said he has a friend who works in Sweden, and in Sweden they get a long time, And you can split it between the husband and wife. So, you know, maybe that's a solution.
There are all kinds of potential things out there. Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here. And what I take away from what you write in the column, what you talked about on the show today, and what you've just mentioned, is that there are so many nuances here.
Absolutely.
That it may just be really, I mean, it's certainly, we should look at it, we should be aware of it, but to count on any of these as absolute factual details may just be overanalyzing.
Yeah, when you get, and I'm not making fun of anybody here, but when you get the Congressional Research Service, or the Congressional Budget Office, when they come up with one figure, and the Heritage Foundation comes out with another, they're 60 percentage points apart.
Mm-hmm.
How could that possibly be?
Right.
And as Jackie Simon said, they're looking at different things. They're literally comparing apples and oranges. That's the old cliche, but that's what they're doing. Back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, the big issue in our little world was called pay equity. And it was the fact that women were paid a lot less than men. So they said, okay, we got to throw out the system and we have to reassign new values to these jobs. Now, I'm making this up now, but for example, they'd say a librarian is equivalent to a research scientist because most of the librarians were women, most of the research scientists. And that's the way they went about solving that problem. Was it right? I don't know. Did it help? Yes.
The bottom line that we should take away from this debate then, though, is what? I mean, is there anything that we should do when we look at this information and say, all right, now I need to go and do X because I know this now?
I think one thing that from talking to Nicole and Pat this morning and listening to other women, as I said on the Bill Maher show, that was a very smart woman, is it's not necessarily our fault, our being men. We're not holding them down anymore. It's more a societal change and a gender situation, but it's not us oppressing them.